Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 126 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, if you hear some faint music in the background or noise in the background, well, it's because I'm recording from the beautiful Royalton Riviera Resort in Cancun, Mexico. That's right. I've been here all week. I'm doing Just for Laughs, their first Royalton Resort week, and I got to tell you, it's phenomenal. This is a beautiful all-in-one resort. Today, I actually left the resort today to go explore some Mayan ruins, which were interesting, and I may talk about that at the end. The funniest thing about the ruins that we explored today is our tour guide. We had a private tour to a place called Tulum, T-U-L-U-M, and let's just say he was sketchy, okay? He was, he reminded me a lot of a politician, yeah, of a presidential candidate, because he'd tell us stories, and we just kind of wondered, is this true? Is he making this up as he goes? According to him, he told us that Cancun actually was developed, because Jacques Cousteau told the Mexican government they should build this resort area on this little empty island because Cuba was closed to the United States and Americans would come down. I don't know if that's true or not, but when we got to the Mayan ruins, it just seemed there were a lot of buildings he told us were used to collect taxes. And there was one time, and I was with my friend Ryan Hamilton, another great comic who's on the show. We were standing, basically it was sort of a triangle. There was the King's Castle, and across from that was the church, and across from the church, in sort of an L pattern, he said that was where they collected taxes. So who knows? Maybe even back then, that's how they had it set up. Taxes were right there between church and state. Anyway, fascinating. I'm having a good week. It's nice down here. It was predicted to rain every day. It has rained some, but it hasn't rained every day. And let me tell you, the dominant thing in Cancun this time of year, mosquitoes. The mosquitoes are having a ball. So this is where I'm at. This is where I'm recording from. Now, let's get to the podcast. Sure, there's limited TV, and TV is in Spanish on a lot of channels, but there's certain things you can't escape. And of course, I don't even know which of these things is first. But let's go with the debate first, because there was another Republican debate. Now, here's the thing. Why is there still a kiddie table? Why is there still the little debate before the grown-up debate? Before the grown-ups debate, they have the debate of the candidates who don't have any real following. So now Chris Christie and Mike Huckabee were the latest two sent to the kids' table, and they had to join Bobby Jindal, Rick Santorum, George Pataki. Is George Pataki still in this race? Lindsey Graham, is he still in this race? Is there a table below the kiddie table to send him to? Well, Jindal attacked Christie, and then Christie attacked Hillary Clinton. Now, here's the thing, Mr. Christie, with all due respect for your ambition, if you're at the kiddie table, you shouldn't be allowed to attack Hillary Clinton. That's like jumping over the big boy table. You should have to work your way back up to the big boy table, and then you get to attack Hillary Clinton, I guess. I don't know. But this format makes no sense. But I'll tell you, one thing that doesn't get in the way of the debate, that's truth. Oh, why bother with truth when we could just create things? This is just a sampling of some of the things that were said in the debate that either aren't true or make no sense at all. By now, you probably know that Donald Trump was talking about how the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement is to the advantage of China, which would be great, except that China is not part of the agreement. Other than that, he was right on top of it. We're losing jobs by the thousands. As pretty much everybody knows, unemployment's been dropping every month, and last month, there were 271,000 jobs created. We will reduce our debt and reduce taxes. Were you around when George W. Bush was president? Lots of tax reduction, no debt reduction. Let's see. Obamacare, always popular. Obamacare is bankrupting companies. Not one single company is on record as being bankrupt because of Obamacare. And on and on and on. Let's just make it up as we go. Who needs facts? We're having a presidential debate. Are they going to be checked on this? Of course not, because the debate was being run by, what is it, Fox News Business? What, I don't even know, like, what channel. There's so many Fox Newses now. But, yeah, I think it was Fox News Business that ran this. So they're not really going to check. They're going to let them just talk. So that was it. Another debate. Another more nonsense. Let's talk about Donald Trump, because Donald Trump did make his controversial appearance hosting Saturday Night Live. And what did we learn? That Donald Trump cannot be funny intentionally. It was unfunny. It was bad. Every review panned it. There was, you know, what did you expect? I was asked to do an interview about it. The interview didn't come through, but I had to put in talking points. And that was my first talking point. Donald Trump isn't funny. I don't know if anyone noticed that, but it did work because it got them the ratings. Now, who is funny? Ben Carson. Ben Carson is proving to be hilarious. Ben just, he's saying things you don't even know, like, I don't know where they're coming from anymore. So, Egypt had to step in. Egyptian antiquities officials, they explained that Ben Carson saying that Egypt's ancient pyramids were not built as pharaohic tombs but used to store grain. Their response, does he even deserve a response? That's how ridiculous it is. Ben, how did you know? Who writes your material, Ben? Ben also, now I'm not even going to go into the West Point and the college thing, because I don't even, like, Ben's like, I didn't say what I said I said. Yeah, that's his position on being admitted to college and getting offered a scholarship or whatever the hell it's supposed to be. He said, I didn't say that I said what I said, or I said I didn't say what I said, or hell, you figure it out. I'm just doing the podcast. My favorite Ben Carson thing this week, there is a meme. It's Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, laughing out loud, you know, picture them with their mouths open laughing, and under it, it's the quote, they have Hillary Clinton saying to Obama, Carson said, no one has undergone scrutiny like me. Said, yeah, right, Ben. Yeah, no one's undergone the scrutiny that you have. Hillary Clinton didn't just go through a 10 or 12 hour congressional hearing over Benghazi after the Republicans admitted that their whole purpose in Benghazi was to bring Hillary Clinton down. Barack Obama hasn't been under the scrutiny you've been under. You know, when he was told he wasn't an American and actually had to, didn't have to, but reduced himself. And I say, because it was, I'll never agree with that move, but reduced himself to showing his birth certificate to prove to you idiots. And when I say you idiots, I mean the Republicans, that he's an American. So, I mean, he still has to deal with the Muslim thing and the blah, blah. But yeah, Ben, no one's had it as hard as you. I think the question we have to scrutinize Ben on is the whole brain surgery thing. As in, who really did it? Who really? Because, Ben, from what you're telling us, there's no way you could be a brain surgeon. I've said it before. I say I respect Ben Carson because of being a brain surgeon and being intelligent, but I don't understand what he says. But that respect is waning fast. It's disappearing. He makes so many ridiculous statements that, honestly, is it comedy? Is it disconnect? I read a recent thing about black people who support Ben Carson, people of faith. And he, you know, when he was at Johns Hopkins, he would give talks to these kids who were in school studying math and science. And, you know, they were from underperforming schools, and he would try. He was like an inspirational speaker to them. And his big thing was faith helped him do it. And, you know, Ben Carson, very successful man. He's worth $26 million, which makes him the third richest candidate in this presidential election, Trump being first, Hillary being second. But I don't know how you put it together. How do you put together intelligence with what he says out loud? I'm just not sure. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Ben Carson isn't intelligent. Obviously he is. You know something? I can't think about it too much because maybe that's what happened to him. Maybe after he stopped doing brain surgery, he started thinking and he thought about something too much, something insane, something crazy like, you know, Obamacare is the same as slavery, something like that. And it hurt his brain. Maybe that's what happened. So maybe the danger is if I keep trying to figure out Ben Carson, I will actually hurt my own brain. And I still need it. I still got a few good years left for this comedy thing. This comedy thing got me a week in Cancun in November. I can't give it up now. Ben, I can't think about you no more. You're killing me. You're literally killing me, Ben. So what else do we have this week? Let's go to Missouri. Before I go to Missouri, let me talk about it, because this happens, and this isn't even a Democratic thing, even though it's more often a Democratic thing. You know, one of the problems that Al Gore had was losing a bunch of votes to Ralph Nader, where the outside candidate siphons off Democratic votes, and there's a chance of Bernie Sanders doing this with Hillary Clinton. There's a columnist, H.A. Goodman, writes for Cleveland Plain Dealer and some other columnists. He says that he wrote a column that said, here are 10 reasons why if Bernie Sanders is not the candidate, I won't vote for Hillary Clinton. Okay. Now, you know who would vote for Hillary Clinton if Bernie Sanders isn't the candidate? Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has said that Clinton would be an infinitely better president than any Republican running. See, here's the thing. I don't even understand that. So Bernie's not going to be my candidate. Well, damn it. Let's not vote at all. And then we'll let a Republican win. And that'll show him. That'll show Ms. Clinton. Ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous strategy. Not only that, you know, his 10 reasons are ridiculous. Okay, not all of them. He's mad because Hillary Clinton voted for the Iraq War. She said over and over that was a mistake, that she was wrong. She admitted she was wrong. Speaking of being wrong, he complains, this is Goodman again, he complains that Clinton evolves on issues and Bernie doesn't. That's good. That's an asset, that given information, that learning more, looking at history, etc., you change your opinion evolves, is bad. Well, then I guess we're going to have a serious gun problem, because Bernie is a very pro-gun guy. Why is Bernie a pro-gun guy? Because he's from Vermont, and the rural people in Vermont use guns. Understandable, but, you know, Bernie is kind of, evolving on gun control. He claims that on foreign policy, that Sanders is a Democrat and Clinton is a Republican. Now, that's cool, except you just made it up. Hillary Clinton is a Republican. First of all, ask the Republicans. I'm not sure they'd even let her sit at the little table. Secondly, we have a first lady who was married to a Democratic president who went on to become the Secretary of State under a Democratic president, and in between was a Democratic senator from New York. Nah, she's not a Democrat. Why would you think she's a Democrat? This is a strategy that will destroy the Democrats. Right now, I would say Hillary Clinton is still the front runner to be next president of the United States. Trust me, other countries are so hoping that Hillary, every time that Trump or Carson or Christie or Bush or Santorum or any of them open their mouth, every other country in the world like, no, don't do it, don't do it. So the world wants Hillary Clinton to be president. But this guy says if Bernie's not president, I guess what he's saying, if Bernie's not president, we should have a Republican president. And this is his strategy. Mr. Goodman says that I want a Democrat in the White House, so if my Democrat doesn't win the nomination, I won't vote for a Democrat. Oh, and his other thing, he said that there was a poll that said only 47% of Democrats would enthusiastically support Hillary Clinton in the major, and that's his thing, the enthusiastically support. I don't know what that means. I honestly don't know how you measure the enthusiasm of someone's support. Maybe I don't enthusiastically support Hillary Clinton. I don't think Hillary Clinton's perfect. I just think she's by far the best candidate we have in this next presidential election. So is that enthusiastic? Maybe I'm not enthusiastic enough. Maybe I need bumper stickers or a horn. Yeah, you know, if you have a horn, you're almost always considered enthusiastic. You ever go to a game? Huh? Who's enthusiastic? Those people with the air horns who are destroying the people's ears who are sitting in front of them. They don't care about your ears. They're enthusiastically supporting their team. So I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not enthusiastic enough in my support. Some bitch. NASCAR. You know the story with NASCAR. You know I likes NASCAR. Let's move on. What else do we have going on? The University of Missouri. Now, this is very, I like this story. This is a very interesting story. People are taking different sides on this story. Basically, the University of Missouri, there's been a history of racism at the University of Missouri. And the president of the University of Missouri basically ignored it. And Concerned Students of 1950. That is an organization at the University of Missouri that cares about these issues, protests for black issues, supports Black Lives Matter, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason they say Concerned Student 1950 is 1950 is when black students were first admitted to the University of Missouri. So as we know, the president of the University of Missouri and the chancellor of the University of Missouri have now resigned because they ignored numerous, it's a long list of racist acts, from anything from racist slurs and insults tossed at students to there was a protest during homecoming. President of the university, ignored the protest, drove through, maybe his car touched a student, hit a student driving through. Don't know it. That's one of those things. I'm sure the car touched somebody, but somebody may have touched the car. But anyway, a swastika painted in feces in the university. And he just basically ignored this. So the students started protesting. Some of the faculty started protesting. Then it got interesting because the football team, there was a hunger strike. A student had started a hunger strike. A student named Butler started a hunger strike, but that wasn't Jonathan Butler, which is interesting because that's the name of a South African guitarist who's a brilliant musician and a friend of mine. But anyway, Jonathan Butler started his hunger strike, but what changed everything? The football team went on strike. That's right. University of Missouri football team said that they were the black players on the team said they weren't going to play. followed shortly by the coach and some faculty who backed him up. Did they back him up for the right reason or the wrong reason? Who knows? But they did back him up. But here's the thing. This is what mattered. Wasn't the black students, wasn't the hunger strike, might not have even been the football team except that money. That's where you protest. That's why it worked, because it hit the money. If they had missed this game that they had scheduled against BYU, isn't it ironic that that you have the game against BYU? But anyway, there would have been a forfeit fee for forfeiting the game of $750,000. And then who knows where it would have gone from there in terms of money regarding the NCAA and missing other football games, lost revenue. See, I said this before when the University of Alabama had the No Niggers in the Fraternity song. I did a joke about it, but it's true. If the athletes had said, oh, we're not going to play, then everything changes, see, because they might hate the black people, they might even hate the black athletes, but they love the green money. Now, is there another side to this story? Yes, there are times when you look at what is free speech, what is allowed to be said on campus, what is allowed to be done on campus. There's a big argument that are students allowed to just have bad taste, like the blackface and Halloween incidents at Yale and other universities. Yeah, they are. But there's certain things, and again, this is where you fake that ignorance. You know, when it's like the group that says the Confederate flag is not a racist symbol, and a group that says, well, being in blackface, we're not being racist. Yeah, you are. You are. And you know you are. And it's an insult. And wow, if the teams start organizing protests, things are going to change fast, because that is big money. Can you imagine? I mean, this is just University of Missouri, which is major. But what if like the University of Michigan football team went on strike? What if North Carolina basketball or Duke basketball went on strike? What if UCLA basketball or football? Like, you see, these are Alabama football. These are national powers. These aren't just college football teams. These are the economic engines at the university. These are what put the universities on the map. So this is I'm not going to say it's a dangerous precedent. I'm going to say it's a scary precedent. They're hoping that teams don't get involved in the politics of racism on campus, because if they do, man, you think the NCAA got problems now? Whew. So I say kudos to the students, to the football players and their supporters at the University of Missouri, because they organized and they got something done. Speaking of football, Greg Hardy. Greg, wow. Wouldn't it be great? You know what I just thought? Greg Hardy's old school. And what I mean by that, he's old school in, you know, back in the day when football players beat up women and got away with it. Yeah, Greg Hardy apparently beat up his girlfriend when he played for Charlotte, threw her into a bathtub. Who knows? There were pictures of how bruised up she was, et cetera, et cetera. She came out. They said, you know, why didn't you press charges? She said, because nothing would happen, which oddly enough, she's proven to be right. But anyway, there was a court case. The charges were dropped because she didn't testify. Supposedly, there was a settlement made. She was probably given some money. Can't knock her for that, because the way the court system works, she's like, look, he's a star football player. He's not going to be prosecuted. So maybe she said, I'll just take the money and walk away. But anyway, Greg, move on to this season. Greg Hardy's playing for the Dallas Cowboys. He has a 4-game suspension from the NFL. He starts playing. And this is what makes it so difficult for everybody in football. He's a great football player. He's a great defensive lineman. He had a sack that saved a game. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, calls him a leader. Asshole move there, Jerry. Charles Barkley had an interesting argument that we need to save Greg Hardy. He said, you know, if Greg Hardy's guilty or not guilty or whatever, we need to see if we can make him a better man. If he has been beating women, we need to see if we can, I guess, teach him not to beat women rather than throw him away as a person. And he, you know, Barkley brought up how many young black men are thrown away by the system, just sent to jail or whatever else, you know, and that's an argument for a different day. Like I said, I hope that Greg Hardy is old school. I hope that he's a bad guy it's a given he's a bad guy, but I hope that this, you know, this shows that it's not going to be accepted anymore. Should he still play football? I don't know. You know, the argument is a man has a right to make a living. So he's paid some penalty. He's paid a financial penalty. The NFL has suspended him. That was his punishment. And we should watch him from here. Is he a good guy? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no until he changes his ways. Then he is. Now, here's the thing that sort of bothers me. Yeah, it does bother me. You know who's a good guy? Cam Newton. You know why Cam Newton's a good guy? Because every time Cam Newton scores a touchdown, Cam Newton gives the ball away to a fan. Okay. Now, this past Sunday, Cam Newton happened to give the ball to a 6-year-old kid named Colin Toler, who was attending the game with his grandfather, because his father just died on September 30th. His father always promised to take him to a game. He died from a medical condition before he could take him to a game. So Cam Newton got the ball, gave this kid the ball. Didn't know all of this about Toler when he gave him the ball. Who's an asshole? Julius Peppers. Why? Because after the touchdown was scored, Julius Peppers plays for Green Bay. He took the ball and threw it away. Just threw it on the ground, you know. And you know what Cam Newton did? He ran, he picked it up, and he gave it to a kid. I would love to see Cam Newton getting as much press for that as Greg Hardy is getting for beating up a woman. Cam Newton, good guy. Julius Peppers, asshole. Greg Hardy, man needs help. That's my call on the NFL for what it's worth. Now, in the unlikely event, in the event that Greg Hardy truly is a bad guy, and he does something else, maybe does a criminal act. You know, he's playing for the Dallas Cowboys, he's in Texas, break the law in Texas, got to go to jail, some bitch, NASCAR. Well, if he goes to jail, he'll be happy to know that he might be able to bring his gun. Why? Because this week, the Dubuque Penitentiary. Sorry, forgot to speak English. The Butte Penitentiary, a medium security prison in Deacon County, Texas. You know you're in Texas when your ass is in Deacon County. Announced that it will recognize the Second Amendment rights of all its prisoners, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed just because an individual is in jail. Let me say that again. This is from the warden of the Dubuque Penitentiary. The right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed just because an individual's in jail. Here's my question again. What can go wrong? I ask this every time they bring up the gun thing. If he says, everybody's safer if everybody has a gun. I just kind of wonder how the prison guards feel about that. It's the same theory with schools. When they say, let's arm the teachers, I say, what can go wrong? Movie theaters, let's just make sure everyone in the gun has a movie theater. What could go wrong? And now, jail. Listen, the man says, if everybody has a gun, then everybody is safe. Besides, the inmates are only allowed to have guns in their cells. Well, that's different because you have to protect your gun, your jail cell, from intruders. Not sure what intruders are trying to break into jail cells. This is amazing. This is amazing. And I want to tell you that this article was sent to me by a Canadian, and the article was in the CBC, which is Canada's news, kind of Canada's CNN. And it's like I told you, the world is afraid. The world is very afraid. This America, some bitch. This is Alonzo Bowden. thanking you for listening to another episode of Who's Paying Attention. Next week, I will be back in the United States, and I'll be visiting the LA Auto Show, so I'm probably going to have some car stuff to talk about. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a video with the people from NPR who used to do car talk. Who knows? Maybe I'll be that guy. I know that next Saturday I will be on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and I'm looking forward to recording that. All right? Thank you guys for listening. Have a great day.